angel said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Now watch this. Are you listening? "For there was born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, this is your part now. Ready? Are you ready to say it after me? Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Okay, no. It's got to be a lot louder than that, all right? All right. Glory to God. In the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Do you want to try it again? No? Do you want to try it again? Sure. All right, ready? Glory to God. In the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at the things that the shepherds told them. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in their heart. Then the shepherds returned and glorified God, praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told to them. Awesome. Great job, guys. Great job. All right. All right, the kids can head back and have fun. Mary, did you know? How many have ever heard a sermon about Christmas? Yeah. We all have. I want to speak to you today, but I want to speak to you from a little bit different perspective. It's in the Christmas story, but I want to talk about Joseph this morning. You know, Joseph is there, and he was betrothed to Mary and all of that, but it seems like he's just mentioned and then he's gone, right? But he was so significant in the story. It's powerful, his role in the whole story. First of all, his lineage had to be through the line of David so that the Messiah could come. But let's start reading in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from his sins.'" Again, here's Joseph is introduced to the picture. The first thing that I want to point out that Joseph and Mary had gone through the betrothal process. And betrothing in the Jewish tradition and in many other traditions around the world, betrothal means it's like a year before the actual ceremony. But what it says is that we come into covenant, there's an actual ceremony, we come into a covenant that we're going to be husband and wife. And as far as legal things and all of that, this is taking effect right now. So in other words, the wedding didn't happen for a year, but they were kind of bound together because of the betrothal. And so here's Joseph, and he's betrothed to this wife. And again, sometimes in that custom, it's not like our customs where, well, let's date somebody and see if we like them. And then if we don't like that one, we'll pick somebody else out. And we'll just keep picking somebody else until somebody sticks, right? But the custom then, and really not in the too distant past, was, is even if your mom and dad thought, well, that's a good match, let's get them together, right? Or I need a wife, you make a good wife, let's get married. And then they work things out afterwards, right? So here's Joseph and Mary, and they're in this betrothal period. And it doesn't really indicate how far into that year process that it was. But Joseph, what he was doing, he was back at his dad's house getting a place ready for them to come after the wedding. And Mary, what she was doing was preparing herself to be a wife. So the ladies around her were telling her what that was all about and how to, you know, cook, how to clean. All of those things were being discussed. She was preparing herself for marriage. But there was a little wrinkle in it, right? So just a little wrinkle. Think about this and imagine this for just a minute. The angel came to Mary and she was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. And then she says to Joseph, we have a little situation here. I happened to be pregnant, but it was by the Holy Spirit. It's like today somebody say, well, I'm pregnant, but I don't know how. Really? And here's Joseph going, you're pregnant? Now watch this. They were legally bound together. So under the custom and the law of the time, he could have brought her out to the whole village, the whole town, and by the law of Moses, she would have been stoned to death. He could have done that. It was legally right for him to do that. But it says, Joseph being a just man, a righteous man, man who not only knew the law of God, but he knew the heart of God. He said, no, let's not do that. We'll just put her away privately. Interesting. I mean, most men would have gone, stone her. Right? Come on, she was stone her. But he didn't do that. But look at verse 20. It says, by what he thought about these things, in other words, he was pondering just this situation in his mind, going over and over it. When he thought about these, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you Mary, your wife, for she which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now this Joseph, again, was a Jewish man brought up in the synagogue, knew the law, read all about the Messiah who was to come. And so this angel is saying, listen, you're part of this whole process now. You're going to bring forth Jesus. And he is going to be the Messiah that everybody is looking for. Did you know that today there's people that are waiting for the Messiah to come? Yeah. We're part of them. Yeah. But we're waiting for the Messiah to come again. Right. They're waiting for the Messiah to come the first time. Right. Even in the Muslim faith, they're waiting for a Messiah figure to come back. Right? So think about this. Joseph, here's this angel. It comes to him and says, hey, Joe. They were friends. So, hey, Joe. Listen, I want you to know, Mary is pregnant. And by the way, Mary was probably anywhere from the age of 13 to 15. That's the time. And Joseph could have been anywhere from 19 to 30 in that range. That's the typical way that it happens. So hey, Joe, listen, she's pregnant. And that's right. But the Holy Spirit, there was no monkey business. It was the Holy Spirit. Okay, how do we handle this, right? All right. And then listen, he's going to be the Savior. Great. I get to be part of the birth of the Savior. And just think about that, there was no other details that were given out. So Joseph in his head, like you and I, would have probably said, well, this is probably how it's going to happen. He's going to come out, there'll be a crown on his head, right? We'll all be part of the palace life, and I mean, everything is going to be great. Listen, this is going to be awesome. You know, thinking about how things are going. And so, I mean, an angel came to him. Things have got to be good. An angel came to him. First of all, why did the angel come to Joseph? Well, because Mary was with child. But another reason is that Joseph was a righteous man. In other words, he knew God. He talked to God. It was not something that, it was out of the ordinary, but he came to him because he knew that he would do the right thing. Let's go on here. Verse 22. So it was all done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken to the Lord by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Think about this. You're the stepdad. You're looking down at this baby that's just been born. And by the way, this baby didn't come out speaking. Didn't come out speaking Hebrew or you know, Aramaic or, you know. And I mean, this baby came out and the first words were, wah, right? So you're with this baby and you're looking down at this baby in the manger and you're going, wait a minute. This is the baby. And I just saw Mary give birth to this baby. But this baby is God with us. I mean, just think about that. And then think about Joseph going, I'm responsible. I remember when my son was born and they laid him in my arms and his head was here and his feet were dangling. And the first thing I said to the Lord was, Lord, you love me this much? I can't even imagine it. You love me this much. And he said, even more, he said, but he doesn't belong to you. He belongs to me. And my thought was, oh, God, help me not screw it up. That was with my son. Joseph has the Son of God. Lord, help me not screw this up. Right? And again, I've got this plan. I think how it's going to go, but Lord, help me not screw this up. And even the birth in the manger was kind of like, wait a minute. The angel came to me. We get to Bethlehem, and there's no place in the inn. I thought there'd be a red carpet for us, right? But no, no. Verse 24, and then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel Lord commanded him and took his wife and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and they called his name Jesus. They called his name Jesus. Now look at verse 14 of chapter 2. It says, they were leaving Bethlehem, and it said, and they were departing, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take your young child and his mother to Egypt. Flee to Egypt. Stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. This is not how I had it planned, God. I thought we'd go to Bethlehem, the baby would be born, we'd be in the palace, everything would be great, all my troubles would be over. And he said, no, listen, don't just go to Egypt, flee to Egypt. Joseph, I need you to get up right now. I need you to pack what you can, get your baby and the baby's mother, put it on a donkey and make trails for Egypt because Herod's not liking this idea very much. And Joseph going, again, this is not what I thought was planned. But okay, off to Egypt he goes. How long am I going to be in Egypt? I'll tell you. It's not fun being in a country that you have no understanding of the language. You don't know the customs all that well. And you're there with the child and you're a foreigner. and not just a child, but the Son of God. I'm taking the Son of God to Egypt. Lord, watch out for those vagabonds and those ruffians and everybody on the road that could, Lord, protect us, right? Think about just getting to his head for a little bit and going, Lord, this is not how I thought it was going to go. But nevertheless, it did. Verse 14 says, when he arose, he took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. And he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I've called my son. In other words, he first got the message when he was betrothed. Okay, it's all right, take her because she's conceiving of the Holy Spirit. Okay, great, I'll do that. All right, now I need you to get out of town because here comes Herod to kill. Okay, I'll do that. It doesn't make much sense, but I'm on my way. Lord, this doesn't all make sense to me. It's not the way I planned my life to be. It's not the plan that I had for my wife, Mary. We were going to live in this little house with my dad for a while, and I had this all planned. But God, this is completely different. And so off to Egypt he goes. But he didn't know, right? He didn't know that he was a part of the fulfillment of prophecy that was kind of obscure in the scripture. In fact, all of the disciples and others had to dig this out after Jesus had died and went to the cross. They had said, oh, wait a minute. It says here that that was supposed to happen. It says over here that he was supposed to be born of a virgin. And it says here that he was going to be born in Bethlehem. And they didn't necessarily study this and go, okay, Jesus is going to be born. Although it was written and prophesied that he would be there at that time. Did you know that? In the scripture of the Old Testament, it was prophesied to the day when Jesus would get on the donkey and walk into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. It was to the day, and he fulfilled it perfectly. But again, Joseph is going, okay, angel, I've got Angel Express. I'm just going to do what you say. It may not make sense to me. It's not the way that I planned. I don't really want to go to Egypt, but I'm headed to Egypt. Right? And then Herod massacred the kids. It was awful. In verse 19, now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. Then he arose, he took the child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. Listen, it's kind of like, okay, you can go back. I don't know how long this was. Was it a year? Was it 6 months? Was it 3 months? I don't know. But again, okay, angel, I'm back on the road again. And he's heading out, right? But look at this next part. But when we heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea, instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee, and he came to dwell in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken to the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. See, here's the point. The point is that Jesus had to go through certain things to fulfill every scripture that was written about him. And Joseph was a part of that. Even if Joseph didn't know what the end was going to be, even though in the process of time, his life wasn't going exactly the way that he thought it should go, God directed him to get him to the place where he needed to be to fulfill everything that was necessary for Jesus to fulfill the scripture. I think that's amazing. But I also think Joseph's going, about the third time the angel appeared to him or he saw him in a dream or whatever, he went, okay, my plan I think would have been easier, but okay, we're headed back up. And that's what happened. And let's go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. So now think about this. They're in Nazareth, and the kid's growing up. Things are going well. I think that Jesus, although he was different than other kids, he was the same as other kids. Do you know what I'm saying? He didn't go through the terrible twos, but he was two. Right? He didn't go through the terrific threes. I think they're all terrific. I love every stage of childhood, even though it's chaotic sometimes. I love it. But anyway, he went through all of those stages of growth. But he was different, right? I mean, he was God. He was the Son of God, but it was different. Go to Luke chapter 2. And we're going to go to verse 42. Luke chapter 2 and verse 42. I'll start in verse 41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days, they returned. And the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it, but supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintance. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Just think about this for a minute. He's 12 years old. They take him up to the feast. And they traveled with a big caravan of people. So Joseph was over here, Mary was over here, and about day into the journey, they went, "Where's Jesus?" Have you ever been in the mall or in a store, and you had your kids with you, and you turn around and, "Where's Donnie?" The panic that comes, and you're running around the store trying, and especially in today's, "Where's Jesus?" So Joseph, the one who was entrusted with the security, with the training, with the love, with the nurturing of the Son of God, I don't know. And so they ran back to Jerusalem. Kind of interesting. You think about it, you put yourself in that story, you go, that would not have been good. Now listen to this. Verse 46 says, "Now it was so that after 3 days, what if you lost your child for 3 days? Think of the panic. Think of the overwhelming feeling that would be, he's gone. What's happened to him? Is he dead? Is he along the road somewhere? Did I mess this whole thing up? 3 days. They found him in the temples, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. First, Jesus, he's over in the temple. Okay, let's go get him. And they walk in, and Jesus is up there with all the smart dudes. Right? All the scholarly dudes that basically just sit around and talk about the scriptures all day. And he's sitting with them. And I'm sure that Joseph is going, huh? Right? So they walk up to him, and Jesus is not only listening to them, he's asking them questions. So interesting. Verse 47, it says, "And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously.'" Again, think about that. Your son, 3 days gone, the anxiety, the fear, and listen to Jesus' report. "And Jesus said to them, 'Why do you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?'" If I was Jesus' dad, I would have said, we brought you into the world. Right? We can take you out of the world. Right? But Joseph remembered the angel who spoke to him and said, this is going to be the Savior, the Son of God. He thought about the dream where take him to Egypt and went to Egypt. Come back and no, don't go there, go here. He thought of all those things. But well, listen to the rest of this. But they did not understand the statement which he just spoke to them. Why? Because he was the Son of God. He was Emmanuel. He was God with us. But at this time, he was like their other children. He didn't walk around the house going, thus saith the Lord. He didn't go around healing chickens. He was living his life and growing up to the stature of and the appointed time to where he'd start his ministry. He was different. He did awesome things, and I'm sure that there were prayers could be answered, because the first miracle at Cana, when he was at the wedding and they ran out of wine, and Mary said to Jesus, hey, they've run out of wine. And Jesus said, Mom, what do you want me to do about it? And then Mary turned up, just do whatever he says. Right? So she knew that he was different, but yet the paradox is that he was still their boy growing up. So here's Joseph, the dad, and just shaking his head, going, this is beyond me. Verse 51 says, and then when he went down with them, he came to Nazareth and was subject to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. So here's Joseph. He's going through this whole time. And this is really the last time that we really hear about Joseph in the story of Jesus. But think about, as a baby, before he was born, wait a minute, that's not your son. That's not from your seed, but you're going to be his earthly father. Wow, okay. And then you're going to take him to Egypt and you're going to do all of these things and I'm going to be with you. But Lord, again, the picture that I got when he said he was going to be the Christ, I thought, you know, the whole crown thing and things were going to be awesome and we were just going to be blessed. And they were, right? They were absolutely blessed, but it wasn't according to plan. So here's the point of it. That we have to know that when God speaks to us something, it may not go exactly the way we think it's going to go. Life may take some turns that we're not completely aware of. Did you know that you can have faith in God and still waver in trusting Him? But trust is so important, especially when you don't know what to do, how it's going to work out, or what the next step is. The Bible says, and I love this, it says, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. It doesn't say the path. It says the steps. Why? Because the path is out there, but the steps are right here. So one step at a time, I'm walking with Jesus. I felt something when I was younger that I was going to do some things for God, or God spoke to me about ministry and the way that, and when He spoke to me about ministry, I had this picture in my head of what it was going to be. And yet, it didn't work out that way. But what I'm telling you, the same God who spoke it to you knew you'd be where you are right now. And so there's still chance for Him to bring it to pass. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I'm saying that the same God who could use Joseph can use you. The same God who's spoken to you about some things can use you. Right? Watch this. And sometimes even the things that we go through and the detours and the right turns when we should have been left turn, don't worry about it. Because God will still use you. I just want to come up with a couple more to emphasize this. And you think about the whole Scripture and the stories in the Scripture. You think about David. The guy comes, you know, Samuel comes to David's house and because the Lord told him to, the next king is coming from your house. And so he goes there, he got a big pot of oil. You know, they don't have the little dipping dabby oil thing. They had a whole horn of oil, a ram's horn that was full with a cork in it. And so I've come to anoint one of your sons. And so they went through the whole thing. And all of the sons didn't match up. That's not the right one. David was the little, you know, young boy out taking care of the sheep, right? And so they said, "Do you have any other sons? This is not right. That's not." And so they said, "Yeah, yeah. Well, he's small. He's ruddy. He's not good for, you know, really." I mean, my interpretation. He's not king material. So they brought him in. They brought him before. This is the one. Anoint him with oil. And he's, you know, again, a teenager at this time. You're the next king. What would you have thought? Bring on the parade. Right? Come on, bring on the parade. But you know the story that he had the whole Goliath thing that happened. And he'd already been anointed. He was going to be the next king. But he wasn't the king then. And Saul came in and said, "Whoever does this thing, I'm going to give him all these things. He's even going to be able to marry my daughter." And so all of that happened. And David's thinking, I'm supposed to be king. But he was loyal to Saul. And then Saul got mad at him. Saul got jealous of him. And Saul started to chase him. David's going, "I'm going to be king." And he's running all over the place, hiding in caves. And think, this is not how a king is supposed to act, right? This is not how a king, I was anointed. You remember Saul came to the house. He poured the whole jug of oil all over me. I was supposed to be king. Didn't happen. Didn't happen. But finally, you know, Saul and Jonathan were killed. And he was brought in to be king. And he thought, well, this is good. Life is good now. And so I'm going to be king. And this will be great. I'm a man after God's own heart. Everything is great. And then he looked off of his roof. And he saw Bathsheba. And kings aren't supposed to do the things that David did. But yet, he was established in the kingdom because God had a plan for his life. What am I saying? Even if you've made mistakes, even if you've blown it, even if you've done what you know you shouldn't have done, even if things don't seem to be like they should have been, and we all have those days. If I've only done this, how could God even like me? Because I failed so many times. How could God even... I started out praying and I said, "God, I'm going to pray for an hour a day, every day. And God, I'm just going to do it." And it lasts about a week. And then, "But God, how can you even use me anymore?" See, here's the point. The point is, God's call on your life, you have input into it, but it's not your call. It's His call. And even if you mess it up, He'll bring around another opportunity and another opportunity and another opportunity because the call doesn't change. And when I say this, I'm not talking about preaching. I'm not talking about just, you know, being in the fivefold ministry thing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about whatever God has placed you in. If you're a mother or a father, you have anointing to raise your kids. but I screwed that all up. It's not over. I said, it's not over. Listen to the voice of God, and He'll begin to tell you how to pray, how to believe, how to walk in such a way that you can have influence again over your children. Right? Are you a business person? Are you somebody that works for somebody else? Are you in the trades? Whatever it is, if God's placed you in that position, He's placed you there to prosper. And what I mean by that is to grow and to become better. And you go, Lord, I've blown it. I don't seem to be getting anywhere. I'm telling you that it's not over. Because just like Joseph, you may turn this way, you may turn that way, but God will send the angels to you. He'll speak to your heart. He'll give you direction if you'll turn around, face up and look at Him. Right? And begin to walk back toward Him. It's not too late. It's not over. I've got to tell you this, and then I'm getting close to closing. Just this last week, I was in my prayer time and talking to God, and I just said, Lord, sometimes I just feel so far from You. I mean, it's like there have been times in my life where it felt like I was really close to You, and there's other times I've walked, and it's like, God, I don't feel everything that I used to feel. And I was sitting there meditating. And one of my favorite verses in the Bible is that come boldly before My throne of grace that you might find help in your time of need. So I just, was sitting on my bed and just closed my eyes and just thinking about this. And in my mind, I pictured a throne with God sitting on it. And God said, just a thought, just think about this for a second. Almighty God, the One who made everything that you see, everything that, and could, like this, blow on us and wipe us all out. That God, He said, come boldly before My throne of grace. Now, I'm not one that I've never had a open vision. I've never seen angels, although I've felt them. I know they're around. I know they're here right now. I know all of that, but I've never experienced that type of thing. But I'm sitting there and just pondering that. And just this feeling started coming over me about the welcoming presence of God. You see, my being able to be in God's presence is not determined by what I've done or haven't done. Do you know what it's determined by? It's determined by the high priest who took His own blood into the Holy of Holies, and He presented it before the Father God and said that God said, it is worthy, it is sinless, it is spotless. The Lamb has been accepted. And because the Lamb is accepted, even if I turn to the left or turn to the right, if I'll just turn around and look to Him, He said He'd never leave me nor forsake me. He said He'd be there with me. He said, I am His sheep. And if I'm His sheep, I know His voice. And the voice of a stranger I will not follow. So I can't look at the things that are going on in my life. I can't even look at my past of what I've done right or what I've done wrong. I have to come to the place where, like Joseph, I just trust the presence. Are you with me? I just trust the presence. So Jesus is the reason for the season. But Jesus didn't come just to be born. Jesus came so that He could die and take our place, right? And so that the sins of the whole world would be atoned for. So Christmas Day, Christmas now, if you've lacked the joy of the Lord, if joy hasn't been there in this season, right? I just want you to come back into His presence. Because the Bible says, in the presence of the Lord, there is joy forevermore. And he said we could come boldly into his presence. So right now, whether you're watching online or whether you're here in the room, if Jesus is Lord of your life, and maybe your life hasn't gone the way that you planned, or maybe you've been disappointed in some things, just put that all aside. Put it all aside, and right now, just come back into his presence. Just close your eyes. Come back into his presence. He's here right now. He's speaking to your heart right now. I'm not talking about audible voices, but if you'll sense in your spirit, in the voice of your conscience, if you'll just begin to sense that, peace is going to return to you even now. His peace is here for you right now. You and you alone. He loves you. He's here for you. No matter what decisions you've made, just like Joseph, he'll make sure you get to the right place at the right time if you just trust him. Lord, I thank you for your presence here today. I thank you for the people who are online, Lord, that you would just touch them, speak to them. I pray that the same presence that's in this room, Lord, would go out through the internet and touch the people who are watching online. Lord, we just give you all the glory and all the praise. And Lord, when we say the words and sing the words, Emmanuel, it really means God is with me. God is with me. So Lord, we receive that right now in Jesus' name. If you're watching online or you're here in the room and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I mean, you've never really turned your life over to him 100%, today's your day. It's the best thing any of us can do. Or maybe like many of us, we did it at one time, but then we picked our own life back up and we started living for ourselves. God is saying today is the day that you start living your life for him and not for you. Trusting him with you and then living for him. So if either of those things are in your heart, just cry out to God from your heart and say, Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you. I know that the blood of Jesus is the only thing that can make me right with you. I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord, my Savior. I am now your bondservant. If you speak to me, I'll do what you say. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. God is good. If I could have the worship team come up, we're going to close with a song. And then if you need prayer for anything today, if God's speaking to you about anything, and you just want to settle that with him, come on up and let us pray with you and for you. Hallelujah. We've seen tremendous healings happen up here. We've seen